This is a historic day. It's a historic day because it's the first time ever in the history of the Crossing Life Church that we've sent one of our own to actually lead one of our Crossing Life churches. And this morning, we are sending Wesley as a first fruits. And really, I feel like it's a result of not just this isolated instance, but it's a result of God's Spirit beginning to move across the earth and stir hearts to surrender their lives and volunteer freely in this day. And I feel like Wesley's a first fruits here of sorts. And, you know, it's my prayer that he's the first of many, many people that we're able to send to plant and establish a work. And what I think is so wonderful, too, is that Wesley doesn't feel this excitement, compelling, like, yes, let's go. He's like, he preached 2 weeks ago, and he talked about, you know, go. You just got to listen and go. You got to stop giving excuses, feeling so many restrictions, and just do it. If there's a need, meet it. And so I just feel it's so appropriate because this next move of God isn't going to be with a bunch of people who are just filled with this, like, yes, we got to do it. It's going to be filled with people who say, I don't feel much, but I see it, and I'm willing. Take my life, Lord. Spend it how you want, not my passion. We become so self-centered today in the church to feel like if we going to do something, it's going to be what we want to do. It's what we feel led to do. It's so much as self-centered when, where's the gospel where, I mean, like the original Moravian missionaries who were so selfless. They just said, you know, there's this, who's going to reach the slaves? Well, we can't really get in because the people won't let us. Oh, I got an idea. Let's sell ourselves into slavery. And then we could access those people. And they literally did. Some of the first Moravian missionaries, which they have one of the longest lasting missions movement on the face of the earth, prayer and missions. They sold themselves. And these young guys who could have families, a future, all kinds of things, literally came and said, you know, to the elders of the Moravian community, they said, you know, we feel led to be sold as slaves into this community. And the leaders said, no, it's not time. And you know what? They didn't say, that it doesn't matter. God's spoken us. We're going. They said, okay. Next year they came back. It wasn't 3 or 4 years that they had to request it till the elders finally said, you know, it's time. And they were sent and sold into slavery as some of the first missions people that reached this community of people. I'm sure there wasn't this like, let's go. Let's give up our lives and lose every right that we possibly have and enter into physical abuse. And this is what it's going to be about. This last, like, one of this next greatest outpouring is going to be about people who experience the cross and are willing to lay down their lives because he is so good. So in Acts 2:34, it says, the Lord God says to my Lord, the Messiah, sit at my right hand until I make your adversaries your footstool. This was the last quotation in this Pentecost Day message. The coming of the Spirit was a sign or a result of Jesus taking the right hand of the Father. This was actually a quote referencing Psalms 110:3. Lord God says to my Lord, the Messiah, sit at my right hand until I make your adversaries your footstool. The Lord will send forth from Zion the scepter of your strength. Rule then in the midst of your foes. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness, and in holy array out of the womb of the morning. To you will spring forth young men who are as dew. This is speaking of this place of visitation where young men begin to avail their hearts. Just say, take me, Lord, spend me. It's literally this word, offer themselves willingly, is spontaneity, spontaneous free will offering. In Deuteronomy 16, it says, you are to celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God with a free will offering, same word, that you give in proportion to how the Lord your God has blessed you. Think about that. This offering, this giving of your heart and your life, this willingly volunteering to the Lord's service, this is an act in proportion to what he's given you. Well, how can we even compare to this God who has given his life on the cross as a sacrifice for everything for us? For every physical need, every emotional need, every spiritual need. You know, when you really get down to the cross and you really understand it, there is no word sacrifice in the English language or any other language on earth. Because Jesus, nothing can compare to his sacrifice for us. We have to keep this at the forefront of our lives, of our affections, everything. You know, how many of you struggled with forgiveness or anger? These emotions that rumble inside us, they dissipate when you place the cross right in front of them because you're like, oh, Lord, while I was an enemy, you loved me and gave your life for me. How much more? If I can't forgive, I won't be forgiven. I will not jeopardize that. And we come to this place of great surrender. This is this willing, offering ourselves willingly. And I think that is a mark in Wesley's life, is that he has said, I don't know what this holds, but I'm willing to give a year, spend me. No conditions, no expectations, no terms, like as long as. This is representative, with all the imperfections, it's still the heart of willingly sacrificing, giving. So I want you to look at Ephesians 6 with me. Verse 11. Put on God's whole armor. The army, this is amplified. The armor of a heavy-armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms or the exercise of absolute oppressive power, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this spirit darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. These enemies aren't political, they're not human, they're not institutional, but they're spiritual. Then we keep reading. Therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all that the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, having put on the breastplate of integrity and moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet with the preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, this trust in Jesus alone, which can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. This victory of Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Father is extended to the church. This armor that you're given is not for passive protection. You're not just supposed to be armed so you could take it all. Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh. You're armed to be prepared for battle. You're not one to just take it. You're supposed to take the weapons God's given you and begin to plunder, annihilate the enemy, this spiritual darkness. If you notice too, prayer is not so much a weapon or even part of your armor. Prayer is the battle itself. It's the means by which you engage in battle, and it's the purpose for which you're armed. See, those of you who aren't truly coming into a place of prayer are missing your destiny. We're armed to engage in the battle, which is called prayer. And I'll tell you, I saw a lot in Brazil. I had no idea what was in store for me when I went there. I went because, like I went to Haiti, I went because I wanted to see what Wesley was up to see what she was engaged in, what it looked like, what the spiritual terrain was, so that I could pray and we could support Wesley. And when I got there, I had one of the most powerful encounters of my life. I'll probably only have 3, 4, 5 of those throughout my whole lifetime. The last one I remember was in 2000 when I launched YouStorm. 17 years ago. And it was just unraveling, supernatural outpouring of grace and intercession. And I saw a lot of things. One is we're going to see an amazing youth movement hit us again. He's going to release a whole new wave, a harvest of young people who will give themselves to God's service. A resurgence of YouStorm, but with the maturity of leadership and the revelation of the church as central. This will be a globalization of laborers, one that hits the nations of the world. You know, and I know that this is not necessarily something new for the face of the earth, because there's many organizations that are mobilizing young people. But I saw it. I saw it hitting our family here. And there being dozens and dozens and dozens of young people who say, I want to just give my life for his service. And they come and they give themselves to training and equipping and mobilizing. And as God makes the call clear, they're sent to the nations of the earth. That's why I'm saying Wesley is a first fruits. He's just the beginning of something God's going to exponentially multiply in our midst. You're going to sit here as part of our family feeling like, good God, how many nations are left in the world? We're sending hundreds of people out. It's going to be remarkable. This all lines up with even what God's speaking to us about land well souls. The whole concept that he's going to increase wealth in such a measure that we can become a global harvester of souls. It's amazing. I'm excited. I don't know about you. And then God spoke to me also that there was going to be an unprecedented prayer movement. It was going to hit us. We'd be overwhelmed by it. And you know, even those of you who think you figured things out, like, oh, I know what prayer is. I'm all part of that. I'm telling you, folks, you got to forget it. Forget it and humble yourself and say, I'm like a little kid who knows nothing. Because he's preparing us to receive fresh outpouring, fresh hunger. And you know, this isn't that which is human-based. It's not something where you're central and it's a self-centered thing. You know, there's so many things that we do because we get something out of it. Deep inside. Good things. From the face value, people would say, wow, they are so spiritual. They give so much. They minister so much. They pray so much. They serve so much. But I'm telling you, under the surface, there's an impurity where we're doing things and we're really doing them more than anything else to get something for ourselves. It's not like this terrible thing. It's when there's a hole inside your heart, you want to fill it. So you help others and you feel good. And you serve and you feel good because you're receiving something from it. But there is a day coming, I'm telling you, there's going to be a move of holiness and purity that goes deep below the surface and begins replacing those desires to do good, to get out of just one thing. Lord, I'm so overcome with your greatness that I just want you. I want the fulfillment. The only thing I want, not any emotional thing, because you've filled everything, Jesus. You filled every desire for emotion, for love, for acceptance, for appreciation. I am doing this because I am full of you and I want to just give. And when it comes out of that heart that's so pure and so full and so abounding with goodness of Jesus, that work pierces and shatters and destroys darkness and just begins to release such life. And it's going to come out of this place of great compassion, where you're so overwhelmed with the greatness of God, you're so oblivious to people's offenses toward you or what they do and don't do. You're so preoccupied and filled with the greatness of God that you're like, oh Lord, there's none like you. And then he passes a thought of prayer by you and you say, oh, I can do that. And we take that prayer and we hurl it out as a vessel and let God plead through us as ambassadors. Whether it's weeping or crying or travailing, and we birth the incredible exploits of God because he wants someone that he can show himself mighty in behalf of, that aren't out to get something from it, not out to get some appreciation or accolades or, wow, you're great. Oh, thank you. It's nothing. But they're there just to say, oh, that I might be a doorkeeper, that I might be one who is so overwhelmed with the glory that in that place I just declare these things that God wants out of his heart. Oh, that felt so great. And no one has to see it. And that I could be an encouragement and stand by my brothers and sisters, because I'm not an island. I believe in the body. I believe in the church. And that I could be part of that magnificent thing called the bride that Jesus is pulling together. It's like, oh, man. So many of you, God's going to pull into a whole new playing field. You think that your playing field is like, you think you got it figured out, you got the game, you got the terrain, and God says, you know what? You're on a completely different field. It's no longer rectangular. It's like octagonal. And you know what? We're no longer playing with balls. We're playing with concepts and ideas that are being hurled about. You're not running. You're literally exerting energy toward different goals. I mean, it's just a whole new, it's like being thrust into a new universe and saying, you know, you've played on this humanistic human field that you could control and conceptually grab, but I'm going to train you how to play in a field in a whole new dimension. It's that striking of a contrast of where God is going to bring us. And we have to humble ourselves and just Say, God, speak. Let your truth, let me understand it. You know, it's kind of like the concept of when Jesus came and said, I didn't come to destroy the law. Because people were saying, well, it's either the law or it's no law. And he's like, no, it's neither of them, actually. It's this whole idea that I came to fulfill the law. It's this whole idea of this polarization idea where it's either or, where, you know, in the Old Testament, it was like one of the Israelites came and said to this angel, like, whose side are you on? And the angel said, neither. I represent the army of the Lord. It's this place where God's going to eliminate our polarized idea that there's two ways. And he goes, actually, it's neither of them. It's this. And I'm telling you, we got to break out of some of these mentalities and these things that are just holding us where we say, we figured God out. It's A or B. Well, no, it's actually K. Maybe I should say G. J for Jesus. You know, J. And God's going to bring us through this process. And it's only by the work of his Spirit in our lives. Because, I mean, if you've been married, you know what it's like telling your spouse something, right? Actually, I'm not talking about Stephanie. I'm actually talking about Stephanie thinking about me. Because she's telling me all the time, like, Sean, this is how you need to do things. This is how you need to think. Have you ever looked at your own life and looked at this? And then I just am like, dun, 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 like I never heard it. Until God speaks and I'm like, whoa. I got this incredible idea, Steph. And she's like, I've told you that for 10 years. This is the kind of the way God operates. We can't affect change in our mentalities and the way we live and think without the Holy Spirit going, flick. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I had this great idea. We need to like unwrap the switches in our heart. And let God change the way we think and live. It's an incredible day that we live in, and God is getting ready to pour out in an unprecedented way. He's leading us. We are the journey, folks. We're the journey. He's drawing us and leading us. He is our God. He is the head of the church. He's the one leading us through this stuff. So I'd like Wes to come up. We're going to pray for him. And so if the elders, deacons, and apostolic team would come up, we're going to lay hands on him and just pray. And, you know, this is more than just praying for Wesley. And sending him out. This is about you and your heart in what God is doing in this hour. He's just representative. It just happens he's the object lesson this morning for what God is saying to all of us. He's saying, I'm calling you to a greater place of surrender. I want to do something in your life. I want to unlock things. I want to fulfill promises. Trust me, trust me. So let's all be part of this. And as you're part of it, you're part of this journey. This is part of your journey of change and transformation, of calling out the things in your life, speaking to those dry bones and having them live. And this is the vision I got for you, Wes, was that I just saw, I can't remember if I shared it first service, but it doesn't matter because we're just starting fresh here. But I really saw you going, and you were going to be, the Lord was going to use your life to call the dry bones to live. And I just saw generations that had been in the ground, and those bones would pop up one at a time, and the bones would start to pop up, and then God would add, you know, tissue to it and sinew and ligaments, and it would all become together and then take shape, and that would be the establishing of something called the church. And God was going to cause those dry bones to live. And I just pray, Lord, as a body, let's just surround him here. I thank you for just a man who's laid his heart on the altar and said, okay, God, well, here we go. Just use me. Take me any way you want. And we just pray, Father, right now for the mantle of your Spirit to fall, that every provision, and I see literally, like, when you step foot on that ground, it's going to be like Iron Man suit coming on you. Just like Holy Spirit is going to just, the parts of his suit are just going to go whoosh and just stick to you, and you're going to start to walk in a mantle. It's going to surprise you because it's going to be so powerful. You're going to just say, whoa, this is crazy. The grace of God that has hit my life. It's going to be right when you need it, right when your feet hit the ground. And all his equipping and all his power is going to come upon you for the work he's called you to. All him.
I just hear the Lord saying that you're not going alone, and that not only is he going with you, but I really felt since the beginning of this service that he's going to give you a friend who's like-hearted and like-minded and with same vision, that you can encourage one another in the Lord while you're there, and that it's not too hard for the Lord to do that, even in a different country with a different culture. And so, Father, I just thank you for that, that not only will Wes become your friend and know you as a better friend, but that you're going to give him a friend in the natural who will be an encouragement with him, God, and who will stand with him there. God, I just thank you for that and call forth that person right now in Jesus' name, that from the moment he gets there, that he'd be connected to this person, and that he wouldn't feel alone at any point in time. He wouldn't feel lonely. God, that he would feel supported, he'd feel surrounded, and he'd have friendship. And I just thank you for friendship for him as he's over there, God, to continue to refresh the vision in Jesus' name.
This word's in Isaiah 57:12, and it goes right along with what Sean was saying about you're one of the first that we're sending out, and there's many others. And this is also a charge for all of us, that it says that some of you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will restore the foundations laid long ago. You will be called the repairer of broken walls, the restorer of streets where people live. And the church over there in the Netherlands has been there for a while. It's built, crumbled, but the foundation, I said earlier, has always been there, and that's Christ, the rock, and you're going to rebuild on that, and someone, like Wesley says, is going to come alongside you. It says some of you will rebuild the ancient walls, the ruins, and others from this church are going to be going out and doing the same thing, and God's looking for those who are willing, and you are willing. Your heart's open, and we bless you for that in the name of Jesus.
Wesley, I mentioned earlier that you have a very unique spirit, a very unique energy and passion about you that I think, you know, even on some Sunday mornings when some of us are down, we're not quite there, you know, you've got the wave going, you've got us kind of ready to jump up, and I just pray that you carry that with you to the Netherlands, that, you know, God is just giving you that passion, that boldness, just the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through you. And that you would just be just a light in that area. And I ask for this family here to get behind you, both financially with prayer and with encouragement, that we would remember every day that you're half a world away, leading a church and leading another family, and that we would just connect, let you know that we're thinking about you, let you know that we're praying for you, and that we're just looking for God to just move mightily in that area. Just pray in Jesus' name.
Wes, I understand that you are doing this out of obedience. Sean was saying that there's not a lot of, not that let's go gung-ho excitement, but in prayer, the friend that Wesley was talking about, and the Father just seems to be saying that there are going to be so many experiences that you're going to encounter that are gonna lift your zeal beyond your expectations, that the hearts of people, the supernatural provision, the building of the church, he's gonna show himself above and beyond, and you're just gonna sit at the throne and whatever, but there's something huge in store, not only for you but for the people that are worshiping in the Netherlands. I'm going to share just a little bit for the sake of everyone here that I shared for a service. This is really such a culmination, sending Wesley out of the answered promises of God. And there was a moment when, before Sean and I got married, I remember I was in a time of intercession. And I even remember I was in my car. I remember the exact spot. And the Holy Spirit just filled the car. And it was this moment in time, like Sean's been talking about, certain moments in life that God speaks to you. And he began to really speak about the children that I would have and that they would spend their lives for the kingdom. And it's such an answered promise because it was a covenant that was made that wasn't about my performance. And you know, it's tough growing up in a ministry home. It's like, you know, we've done what we could do to do what was right, but we haven't always done everything right. And it was a covenant with the Lord that he answers promises, that it's not about us and it's not about our qualifications, but it's about him and his kingdom. And today there is a mantle coming upon Wesley that it's not about his qualifications, but it's about the kingdom and about what God wants to do with his life. As he said yes to God, God is going to take his life and spend it for himself. And he's going to do great things that are so other than what we even have the capability of doing. When you say yes to God, you enter into a place of supernatural, and there is an equipment that is coming upon you. And like Dad was saying, that there's a breaker anointing. And just like when he goes over and doors open, it's just there's something about the presence of God that opens pathways. There is going to be open pathways to you, that the Lord is going before you, and there is a breaker coming on you that is not about you. It is about him. And there was a verse back in that day that God reminded me of. This was right when Sean and I were getting married. There was a verse that that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. And I was reminded of that this morning, that in your life, you're going to praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men as you've stepped out in obedience before him. And we thank you now, Father, just continue to thank you for the mantle you've placed upon him. We thank you that this community stands with him, and he is an extension of who we are in our heart and who you are in your heart and the reflection of who you are. And we just thank you for going before him, standing behind him, that you're his front guard and his rear shield. And that all of the words that have been spoken, Father, we say yes and amen to them and seal them upon his heart today.
We're going to just open it up. And this is your opportunity to give to Wes. And I saw the Lord of the Rings type vision where right before their journey, everyone came and said, here, use this when you get to that dark place. Here, take this. When you're hungry, this will give you sustenance. And I feel like you as a community, as our family, each of you has something to give his heart spiritually. And also I'd ask, you know, Brenda did a real commissioning the first service and said, you know, let's give financially. Because Wesley's not just going, he's certainly not interested in just getting his needs met. He wants to go there and just be able to cover his obligations here and be able to use money to build the kingdom over there, to win souls and to establish people and to plant that church. And that's going to cost. And You know, we have some great people from Norway coming in quarterly, from Belgium. But there's a real networking taking place. This is far more than just one church. This is, you know, which, Musti, you're here. He's from that church, if you didn't know that. So I want to make sure you come and give him a spiritual impartation for what he needs as a representative of the Netherlands, really. But it's your chance to come. You know, and Brenda said first service, she's like, you know, if each of us gave 20 every month, that would be 2,000. If 200 people gave 20, that would be 4,000, where we can sow into Europe. It's the least evangelized continent in the world. Did you know that? Like, we think Europe is, what privileges you got. You go to Europe. It's the same place as here, just different sites, but the same people. But worse secularization and humanism and worse darkness. It's really not as special as people make it, like they think European vacations and stuff. It's just when you've been there a few times and you've seen the Eiffel Tower and you've seen, like, you know, the palaces, and you're like, okay, yeah, those things. Just like, yeah, I've been to Faneuil Hall. Got it, check. But then we live here. It kind of loses its glamour. The Big Apple, you go in now, instead of going, this is the best city, New York, woo, you're like, dirty. I'd like to stay home in Boston. You know what I'm saying? And so, come. Glory. Come and respond. And you know, we have two offering baskets there, but like he shared on the slide, we're after reoccurring, because we need to support this work and supportive, like, it's kind of like not one strike, preemptive strike, but it's like consistent hammering with gospel and hammering with resources, that we establish a stronghold. And like I said earlier, it's all there. It just needs to be brought together. And that's what his role is. He's going as that leader. So what we're going to do is just take the time. You know, you don't even have to know Wesley to give him an impartation of peace and strength for the journey. So we'll just come around like communion right down the center and just give him what the Lord tells you to give him. And we're going to have the prayer team first, so that, you know, like I said, this is part of our journey. This isn't just about your giving as an expression of faith to finish the work that he's doing in your life. So as you come down and you're giving, we'll have the prayer team up here, and they're going to be here to agree in prayer. Whatever you're seeing God do in your heart and you want to agree with that, that he would finalize and complete that work and continue that process in your heart. Because I know many of you are in this boat, walking in faith with Jesus and knowing he's going to do this great work. Any of you guys all set? So just come, just respond. Father, bring us as a whole church, I pray. Bring us through this journey, through this process. Raise us up as servants who fear nothing, who see no obstacle, and who are willing to just say, Lord, here I am, send me into the workplace, into the schools, into the neighborhoods, on the streets, to the nations. Do this work in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen.